So welcome to the 23rd episode of our Transportation Management podcast. This episode is about a very special topic, nature of goods. My name is Thomas Quintus. I'm Scrum Master and Developer in the Freight Order Management team.
My name is Andreas Anselmann. I'm also a member of the SAP TM development team, and I'm the product owner for Air Freight.
My name is Dragos Florescu, and I'm developer in Team Freight Order.
Yeah, and I'm Bernd, and I'm also in Freight Order Management, and I will ask the questions today as mostly. Okay, so our topic of today is nature of goods. I think we have to even narrow that. It's already specific, and we now, it's a good point to narrow it a bit down. So it's nature of goods in air freight. I mean, so everybody with no intention to work in air freight at all can stop listening here. Everybody who works in air freight should start listening carefully. So it's about some specialties in the nature of goods handling in air freight, right? So and I think even this nature of goods is already a too broad term, right? We have actually two kind of nature of goods. Andreas, could you help me on that?
Yes, certainly. So nature of goods or nature of and quantity of goods is an air freight specific term, and it's a description of the cargo that is transported in the end. They are only relevant for air freight, as you mentioned before, and only for freight forwarders. So shipper describe their products with a product or a goods description, and the freight forwarders have a more high-level description of this cargo, and that's called nature of goods.
Nature of goods, okay. Or nature and quantity of goods?
Well, is that nature and quantity of goods, it's called in the AVI bill. Mm-hmm. So you have to print this information also in the AVI bill, and that's called nature and quantity of goods. It's printed in the consignment rating details to be more precise. And for the experts of you, that's box 22i.
Okay.
And for the manifest, you also have that kind of description. For each of the shipments, you print in the manifest a description, which is there called nature of goods.
And it can be different, right? So it's not the same name for, or two names for the same thing, but I could have in the same, let's say if you start with a forwarding order, I could have two different entries, one for the nature and quantity of goods, and another one for nature of goods for manifest, right? With different.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and when would I do it, or why is that? Is there a certain reason, or do we have an example why we have two different nature of goods?
Well, we have actually more than two different. So the user would first get the information from his customer, so from the shippers. Well, to give you an example, if somebody wants to change his residence and want to transport three different boxes, one with dinerware, one with glasses, one with toys, the forwarder would just name that household goods. And then he would capture that in the forwarding order. And this information is then printed in the house AVI bill. And you assign later on different shipments, so different house AVI bills to one master AVI bill. Our term, that's the freight booking. And then you print the two things, that's the master AVI bill. And there you have even a more high-level description of all the shipments which are included in the freight booking. And then you have the manifest. It's called cargo manifest. And another one is more for customs. That's the security manifest. Okay. And this contains for every shipment one entry, and there you have the nature of goods.
Okay.
And this can be different high-level, for example, because of legal reasons, because of customs, sometimes for the whole transportation chain, you can have different countries involved, and you have to translate it. And therefore, what you end up in the forwarding order can be different in the manifest. And of course, different in the master bill, because there you have a summary of all the goods
and in the freight book. And is that differentiation already starting in the forwarding order? So could I have a forwarding order where I already have, so with my movement forwarding order, where I have one nature and quantity of goods entry and nature of goods for, let's call it nature of goods for manifest entry in the forwarding order already, or does this differentiation start later in the document chain?
No, this can even start in the forwarding order.
Okay.
So we have two different areas for that text or different text. First, you would capture the nature and quantity of goods. And then you can copy it over to the nature of goods for the manifest. And there you can change it or you can keep it as it is. And okay. that's the basis then for the manifest.
Okay.
So in the for the manifest, which is in the end captured in the freight booking, you have different users which are responsible to do the booking, to take care of the master bill, of the manifest and things like that, there can even change this information in the freight booking in the end.
Okay, later on then. But it could already, in the forwarding order, if I know I need different descriptions for the manifest and the booking itself, then I could already differentiate that in the forwarding order.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And do I maintain it as a describing goods? Is that an item thing or is a header thing or...?
Well, it's a header thing. So you can imagine that you have for forwarding order 20 items received, 20 boxes, for example, from the shipper. But you have some space constraints in the airway bill. You can print the maximum 12 lines. So if you have 20 boxes, then you cannot capture that information at the item level. You have to capture it in the header level.
Okay.
And by the way, nature and quantity of goods does not only contain the description of the cargo. It also contains, for example, volume, the dimensions of the cargo. Yes, additional things depending on the country. For example, custom-specific information like movement, reference number, and things like that.
And that would be on the nature and quantity of goods on header level, right?
Correct.
So all that stuff. Okay. And then on additionally, I could have a nature of goods and that is for manifest. And that is only description of the goods, but also on header level,
yes.
right?
Correct.
Okay. And it can be redundant or a bit different. Okay. And we already started talking about it. So I can capture it in the forwarding order. But as you mentioned, I may have different requirements for the follow-up documents. It can already start with freight units, right? So, or what we call freight units, so shipment in that case maybe. So maybe my moving is split into, two shipments later. And maybe, as you said, it's mixed and maybe I don't have only household goods, but I also have computers, assuming that it's not household goods or something. So I could also split it into two freight units. And then I think I also have to do something with the nature and quantity of goods because for that one shipment or one freight unit, it's different than the other one. Is that correct? Or
yes,
is
it, that's correct.
Okay.
So if you have one shipment containing spare parts for machinery and
that's what I always
chemicals,
move. Yeah.
and you split it up into freight units, one contains the spare parts and the other the chemicals, then you would copy over the nature of goods for manifest into the freight unit and then adjust it there. In the freight unit. So in the freight unit one, you would just capture the spare parts and in the second one, the chemicals.
Okay. Good. When we come to the details on how this is done later. One question you already mentioned, we have some certain restrictions in terms of size and how many rows. That is still coming from the print world, right? I mean...
Actually not.
No. Okay.
Also from the print world.
Huh?
The air freight business have defined design the processes or their standard processes. Some of them are defined by the IADA. Mm-hmm. And for example, they have defined how a AVI bill has to look like. There you have some space constraints. Actually,
in the printing document.
In the printing document. Yeah. Actually, you have also the electronic messages, mm-hmm. which are coming more and more important. And therefore, we aligned with that messages. And there you have space constraints for the AVI bill. Mm-hmm. So the message, electronic message in the for the AVI bill is called FWB, and mm-hmm. there you have the space constraint of 12 lines, 20 characters each, and for the manifest, which is called in the electronic message the FHL, there you have a space constraint of 9 lines, 65 characters.
Okay, I would still call it a virtual constraint in the electronic world, but okay, it's coming from the real constraints in the paper world, and still to be consistent with that, we still have that. Even so, if you only communicate electronically, you still have to stick to that rules, right?
Cool.
Okay, good. Well, interesting. We had fun implementing it. Am I right, Dragan? We come to that later. It's a bit special. Okay. So we start following on that track. So we said I can create in forwarding order. I can enter nature of good, nature and quantity of goods, and nature of goods for manifest. If I now would have two freight units, I could already split it up and have separate nature and quantity of goods and nature of goods for manifest for the two freight units.
And actually, only you would have only different nature of goods for manifest and freight units.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they're relevant for the follow-up documents.
Okay. Yes. Of course, I knew that. I just, you know, just to get that answer again. Okay. Only the nature of goods for manifest is editable in the freight unit then. Okay. And now we come to the actual execution. So we could have transfer orders, trucking for the trucking piece. And we could have the actual booking. Maybe let's start with the booking because that's the heart of the air freight. Right. So what happens then in the booking? So I have, as you already mentioned, I have a consolidation maybe of different forwarding orders or dash freight units into one booking. Is that automatically copied over? Or maybe let's start with the nature and quantity of goods. Is that taken over automatically? Or what happens then if I have the booking? What do I have to do to get it into the booking?
So the nature and quantity of goods in the freight booking is a summary, actually, of all the shipments. Mm-hmm. So you will, in most cases, not take it over from somewhere, from mm-hmm. another place. But you can. I come back to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. So you typically capture it manually mm-hmm. In the manifest. And there are also some standard constraints or some standard texts. Just refer to the manifest then mm-hmm. And do not describe the goods itself. So you have different options. So the text area looks the same as in the forwarding order. Mm-hmm. Then you can capture it manually. You can take it over from the forwarding order. Mm-hmm. If there are more than one assigned, you can take it over from multiple forwarding orders.
Yeah.
So in the end, the maximum is six. So if you have more than five forwarding orders, it would not make sense to take it over. Mm-hmm. You would just capture it manually.
Okay. And sorry to interrupt, that's on header booking, that's header on, level again.
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's in the of manifest header.
Mm-hmm. And you can also use standard text. So you can define in the SAP systems, also in the SAP DM system, so-called standard text. You can predefine that. It's like a master data, and you can then copy, select such a standard text in the freight booking and copy it over, and there mm-hmm. you can adjust it.
Okay. Good. That is for the nature and quantity of goods, which is kind of a summarization of all items included there. And I could copy parts of the nature and quantity of goods of the predecessor document. If I have multiple, I think if it's one-to-one, maybe it makes sense to copy the complete thing over. But as soon as I have a consolidation, I anyway have to aggregate.
Yeah. Basically, end user enters the information manually, and if decides to copy, then press button, and then the copy occurs. And we have the rule that if there's only one shipment attached to the booking, then the text from that is copied in as a whole. If we have more text, then we copy only the first two lines of the first six shipments attached to that booking.
And the first,
but only after pressing a button, right? There's no auto thing.
There's no automatism.
So. Which makes sense based on what you explained. Yeah.
In the first example you given is for the back-to-back. So you have a one-to-one relationship between forwarding order and freight booking, and there you can copy over the whole description, and also for the direct shipment, of course.
As you mentioned, probably it makes, in most cases, makes little sense to copy information because in the booking itself, you'll have a text, a description like a consolidated goods per attached manifest or something like that. And this is one of the most used text templates.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So maybe, and it could already happen that I have like an order in Germany and my departure airport would be like in France, and then I would already think I have to go to French descriptions or so. So it can also be completely different from the nature and quantity of goods from the original documents already in the first place.
Correct. Especially if you have, for example, a tracking manifest, then you have to provide that document in the language of the country.
Okay, that's a very smooth handover to trucking, so to the ground part of air freight. So we also have it there, right? Yeah. Did I get that right? Is it the same? Is it in a way different? Or
so the principle is the same. So also our capabilities we have there. So you can use the nature of goods for manifest that you have captured in the forwarding order. And that is also shown in the freight order. So you typically start with the pickup order. There you can see it for each shipment. So for each forwarding order freight unit that is assigned. So actually in the freight order at item level.
And okay, now are we still at the nature and quantity of goods?
The nature of goods for money.
Okay.
So in the trucking world, we don't have any nature and quantity of goods because it's only for the airway bill.
Okay.
So the house or master, but it's airway bill. So that's it's only the booking part.
Okay, so nature and quantity of goods, that was the one you mentioned, including dimensions, volume stuff. That is only relevant in the forwarding order and the air freight booking. And not an
exactly.
Okay. And exactly. Now
we're starting to discussing about trucking. Now we're discussing about the nature of goods for manifest. And as Andreas mentioned,
that was a pure product description part of it, right? If I remember right.
Yes, something like that.
Without the quantities.
Okay. And now, of course, because we have in one freight order or in one freight booking, we have more shipments for each item actually or shipment level, forwarding order freight unit, then we have the possibility to display the already recorded nature of goods for manifest from the requirement documents, but also we have the possibility to change them in the freight document because
the first thing is so it's not on header level, right?
It's not
so the nature and quantity of goods is on book air freight booking header level.
Yes.
And the nature of goods for manifest, that is on shipment level. So I could have multiple entries.
Exactly.
Okay. Good.
That's correct.
Good.
And for the pickup order, you would print it in the tracking manifest.
Okay.
So each of that shipment, which is included in the freight order, or pickup order, or even in the feeder, defeeder or delivery, can have its own description.
Okay. And so I would see it then on the shipment equals freight unit level in the trucking manifest or in the air freight booking.
In the print
as well.
Okay. Yeah. Also in the air freight booking. Exactly.
Okay. And by default, I would see the things, the nature of goods for manifest, maintained in the forwarding order. We already talked about the freight units, right? So I can override that in the freight unit if it's only the machinery part and not the spare parts or so. So if I have it more precisely in the freight unit, that would be shown, right? And then
we can also change it in the freight document to accommodate local regulation, like language specific, or there are some countries where for description there are additional requirements what to describe and everything. So in this case, we can, but we must not maintain this information in the freight document, in the freight order or in the booking. If there is nothing maintained there, we already show whatever is maintained in the previous document. So in the freight unit, and if it's nothing in the freight unit, then from the forwarding order.
Okay. And that's very important. So if somebody changes something in the forwarding order and you have already assigned it to the freight order or freight booking, then there it's also changed.
As long as you have not overwritten it in the follow-up documents, right? After then it's decoupled, is correct?
Yes, okay. Yeah, we have no update mechanism as soon as the information is changed in one follow-up document, like in a freight order, then it's stored, changed there, and does not receive any updates from the...
And that's even not required, because when the users responsible for the freight order or freight booking take over the control, then they decide if they want to live with that description or do any changes.
Okay, that's intentional. Yeah. Okay, so I think then it's pretty clear how I capture it, how it's taken over, where I can change it. How is it then? You already mentioned at the beginning, but just to complete the chain. So what is then the next step? So it's printed somewhere, right? You already mentioned it at the beginning. So the nature and quantity of goods, which is the one on header level, in the booking also, it's printed, right?
It's printed.
And I think there's some special handling that's printed together with the charges. And is that right? Maybe.
So it's printed in the heavy bill, exactly in the so-called consignment rating details. And as the name says, you have even the rates in, and you have to align the nature and quantity of goods with that charge line. And that's a challenge, but it can happen that you have sometimes the rates at the beginning, and then you would add later on the nature and quantity of goods, or the other way around. So you can have the nature and quantity of goods, but you have no rating information. And therefore, the captured nature and quantity of goods have to be shown also in the charge screen. And there you have a mechanism to align actually the charge lines with the nature and quantity of goods lines.
It sounds tricky. I think that's why Dragos did it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, you see it then consolidate, and later on, together with the rates, the real rates or the tucked rates, right, the kind of virtual rates in the document. Okay, so that makes it a bit tricky. And for the nature of goods, for manifest, that's not that specific, right? That it's just printing it.
It's just the description of the goods and printed in the truck manifest or in the cargo manifest or security manifest.
Okay.
And there are also transmitted electronic messages when you subcontract.
Yeah. And okay, and maybe that leads us over a bit to the technical implementation. So how is it transmitted? I think that's that leads us to where is it stored and how is it stored? Or is there anything, Andreas, we should still mention on the business or user side of the nature of goods? I think
We have covered nearly everything.
Okay, good. Nearly everything. So there is something? No. Can save it later on. Yeah. Okay, so let's go then to the technical implementation. So maybe first thing is how is it stored?
Yeah. What
is
it? We use for that in our transportation management architecture, the so-called text collection, which is already something that we use quite a lot. Actually, we used also previously text collection to store nature of goods, mm-hmm. but we did not save them in a structured manner. So persisting them is one matter. The second matter is entering them on the screen. And
maybe just coming on a persistence. So it's in the text collection, stored on the text collection, right? Is there a certain text type for it? Is that something a customer needs to create? Do we deliver something?
Yes, so we have, of course, specific text types, mm-hmm. Which also have some check classes attached to them so that they won't break IATA specification. Mm-hmm. And these are part of our delivery customizing.
Do you remember the name of the text type, or is that something for the show notes?
NOG20 and NOG65, which are named after the length of one line.
Okay, so NOG20 and NOG65. That's more or less self-explaining. That's good. Okay, sorry. So that is how it's stored?
So it's stored as a normal text, and also during communication, electronic communication with messages is part of the message. We pass this based on that persistence. What was challenging with the old solution that we had in the past was the fact that the end user could not enter data in a structured manner, meaning there was little way for us to enforce the size restriction which are specified by IATA for these two parts. So 9 lines, 20 characters, respectively 9 lines, 65 characters each. And this was not possible using a simple UI control that we had. So we, in this, for this development, we had to trick a bit our UI controls in order to achieve that. We have now the possibility to enter the data in 9 lines. There are actually 9 input fields on the screen. So, input controls on the screen, which you can enter the data. There is no automatically flow when you go at the end of the line or something like that, like in a normal modern editor. But at least we can make sure that data that is entered on that UI control is consistent with the specifications.
Okay. So that's for the persistence and maintenance. Yeah. So I think we already said for the forwarding order and also freight unit level, first Tor instance then, it's stored on root level, right? So it's also in the text collection on root level then, I assume.
That, okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in the freight documents, it's stored depending on the type. So nature and quantity of goods, which is relevant only for the master airwheel bill, is stored on the root. So we have a text under the root, and nature of goods for manifest is stored under the item node because it's relevant for each shipment attached to that freight document. Mm-hmm. So there's...
That's a bit special, right? Since you said it's shipment level and one shipment can have multiple items. I think that is where we have some specific, and we don't have a shipment item, even so like an overview cargo management, you can see the shipment, but in fact, that's just a virtual one.
Yes, exactly. So if we're going that deep into the modeling, of course, we have in our freight document, we have the items, and we don't have the shipment level in the items, but we have the items of a shipment. So what we do is to identify one more or less random item. It's not quite random. It's the item with the lowest item ID, which belongs to a certain shipment. And under that item, we store the text collection, which holds the nature of goods for manifest.
So if you look up like in BioTest tool, you will see it on the freight unit level. But then if you go into the BioTest tool to the item,
if you look into the UI, you'll see it in the...
You will see it only in one place. That's that first item of the shipment.
It's important to know that, but for the end user, it makes a little difference. You will see it on the screen. And you also have this fallback logic. So that means if you don't have anything modified on the freight document, then the information is extracted from the previous document, from the freight unit, or even farther from the forwarding order. the user does not know that. It just only sees one text there, which is relevant, which will be printed, which will be sent via the electronic messages and so on. Mm-hmm. It's everything encapsulated, and we're speaking about encapsulation. So we have a central functionality for this feature, which provides the access, write and read accesses towards the nature of goods. Mm-hmm. And this central functionality takes care of this logic handling. Yeah, knows where to know on which item to persist the data, or whether in which business object in this particular case.
Okay, that's a helper class. Maybe do you know the name, or should we put it in the show notes?
We can put it also in the handout, but it's a SCM TMS, like all our classes, CL underscore text underscore helper. And there are some pretty straightforward named public methods that can be used and are also used by our UIs or by our
Because I think messages. For messages also, I think it's also important that they would handle
exactly
that, do that shipment.
This functionality is called also from the inbound and outbound message functionality, so that everything is consistent.
And so what happens if I delete that first item? Is my text gone?
Yes, yes and no.
No. Luckily.
We have also thought about this possibility, and we have a functionality that relocates the text from the deleted item to the next item that fulfills the rule.
And if a new item comes in, which is now the new first item, then it would also move, right?
Yes.
I have tested both.
Ah, of course, because it was designed like that. Good. Anything else that we should mention for nature of goods? I think half an hour, just about nature of goods in air. Good. Then thanks for listening. Enjoy nature of goods for manifest and nature and quantity of goods. And next episode's coming sooner or later.